If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 30. That's Proverbs chapter 30. We'll look at verses 18 and 19. Praise God. God is so good, isn't He? Aren't you thankful? Everybody got all your Christmas shopping over with? It's all done, right? Some of you just starting. I generally start on Christmas Eve. Isn't that right, Sherry? Christmas Eve, get started. Well, the PowerPoint says that the title is too wonderful for me. That was an earlier title I'd given this, and I changed it. You notice in the bulletin, and I already put this together, I thought, I need a different expression. The bulletin makes reference to the title of the sermon being An Eagle, a Serpent, a Ship, and a Man in Love. An Eagle, a Serpent, a Ship, and a Man in Love. We read verses 18 and 19. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four, which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. I'm getting just a little bit of feedback. Would you just pull my volume down just a little bit, Angela? Thank you. Proverbs is an incredible and wonderful collection of short, wise instructions. It's all part of God's Word. It's all God-breathed. It's God-breathed on the minds and hearts of those that wrote the all of the Bible. The book represents Solomon's collections of words of wisdom, many of them Solomon's own words, and many of them collections that Solomon made of other great men of faith that he all put together. Chapter 30, the chapter that we're looking at this morning, is attributed to a fellow that I'm sure you're very familiar with. His name is Agur, son of Jacob. Everybody remembers Agur, son of Jacob, don't you? No, because there is no other reference to Agur, son of Jacob. There's no other reference to him anywhere in the Bible. There's no other reference to this man anywhere in any Jewish chronicles or history. But what is obvious about this man is that he was a man of God, and he trusted in God with all of his heart. In fact, look at his words here in verse 5 of that same chapter. He says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar." Verse 18 and 19, the verses that represent our scripture text, they reveal that there are certain natural activities in nature, in the world, that have a beauty and a grace that is beyond explanation. You might remember that Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." By example, people in the world today, people in the world that don't know Jesus, they do not have the same perspective. They do not have the same worldview and understanding that we as believers in Christ have. They can't, because it takes the spiritual understanding of things to see things clearly. Today, we see the world, we see even our nation at times in turmoil. But yet, with peace in our hearts, with peace in our own hearts, we can know that the event that when Christ calls us home, that event that I referenced earlier this morning as the rapture of the church, when we see everything falling apart around us, we can have a hope and a faith and a certainty that at any moment, at any time, Christ is stepping out on that cloud and He's calling you and me home to heaven. We know because as believers, when a loved one dies, and that person that dies has known Christ as their Savior, God gives you and I a special supernatural peace. He gives us a special understanding and hope. with an understanding that that person that we love that has died, they have gone on to a beautiful family reunion. And the world doesn't have that hope. If you don't know Christ, you don't have that hope, you don't have that understanding, you don't have that view or perspective at all. We embrace, as believers, we embrace principles of morality. Morality that's given to us by the Word of God. And it shapes our values. It shapes our decisions. It shapes our values and decisions in a way that the world doesn't have, that they can't get it. They don't understand it. And we see the growth of immorality advancing all over the world, including our own nation. Sometimes we'll face a big decision, a very hard decision. It's something of great concern to us. And immediately as believers, we turn to God, we pray, and we trust God to lead us. In fact, we'll even tell others around us, including non-believers, that we're trusting in God, that we're waiting on God for His help and for His direction through whatever we're going through, that we're going to trust Him to see us through it. And an unbeliever may look at us like they think we're some kind of crazy nut because we just said something as simple as, I'm trusting in God to see me through this. He's going to help me. He's going to give me direction. The experiences of a Christian are essentially spiritual if we walk with Christ and we live in the Spirit and we have a spiritual existence, if you would, that's beyond comprehension, that's beyond understanding. It's beyond a man or a woman's understanding that don't know Christ, that don't understand His love and what it can do to us, how it changes us and gives us a totally different view of the world and everything going on around us. Well, this proverb that we've read today, Proverb 30, 18 and 19, it provides an expression. It's really a confession of the writer. The writer's confessing his inability to understand certain ways of correction. As he says, they are too wonderful for me. They're too wonderful for me to really comprehend, to get it. These four items that's referenced in the scripture that we're talking about today, these four items, they represent fundamental principles, if you would, of Christian faith that's expressed in these four word pictures. So let's look at the first one. There's four. The first one, he references an eagle in the air, the way of an eagle in the air. That's relating to the problem of a man trusting. An eagle builds its nest at the top of a high point that's inaccessible, where there's very little danger to the eaglets that are in that nest. And the young birds begin to grow when they get old enough and mature enough physically to fly. The mother eagle then pushes those eaglets out of the nest. And they begin to fall down, free falling down the side of the mountain or wherever they may be. And as the young eaglets are falling helplessly downward, the big mother bird swoops down underneath them and catches them on her wings. And she flies back up and she repeats the process again and again and again. And eventually, because of the repetition of the eaglets falling and they're frantically trying to figure it out, and she catches them with her wings and takes them back up and then throws them out again, so to speak. Ultimately, what happens is in their frantic, as they're flapping their wings, suddenly they get it. Suddenly the air lifts them up and they can feel it, and it all becomes natural to them as they begin to fly and soar with their mother up toward the blue heavens of the sky. This scene that I've just described, the scene of an eagle in the air, it's a picture, if you would, of our efforts to learn to trust God completely. Of our efforts to call on Him and to trust Him with all of our lives, with everything that's going on in our lives, to say, but God, I am trusting You. We hear the gospel. We believe the promise of the gospel, but it's only when we launch out in faith that we step out in trust in our daily walk, trusting that God can take care of us. He will take care of us. And when we do that, that's when we discover the truth that's in the Bible in Deuteronomy 33 and 27. the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Just as underneath those young eaglets were the wings of that mother to catch them and bring them back up. Listen, underneath us are the everlasting arms. Hear me this morning. God is there for you. He's there with His arms underneath you to hold you, to help you, to lift you up in response to your faith in Him. Oh, He's there for you today. Just trust Him with all that you have. He won't let you down. The second word picture is the way of a serpent. Sherry loves that picture of the snake. Just like that. Just like that. The way of a serpent. That's referencing the problem of a man holding on. You know, if you've ever watched a snake, doesn't have any hands or feet, right? Not any hands or feet. But yet they can move about and climb up things. They have this uncanny ability to go places like straight up a rock, straight up a wall, where we would not be able to do that at all. And we marvel at the way a snake can just take hold of a rock. Or how about a snail? You ever notice a little snail? It can cling to the rocks at the seashore. And even the greatest waves won't move it. It'll just still be right there on that rock, the waves beating against it. Or a fly. You ever notice a fly can land on the ceiling? And he can just hang to that ceiling. It seems like forever. The secret of all those things, by the way, is the power of suction. And a snake takes hold of that rock. And with no foreign elements between that snake and that rock, he easily moves up the rock that could be just like a wall. He can go straight up it because of the suction, the effect of suction that goes up on that rock. He's holding on to the rock, isn't he? At times, our walk with Christ, our walk with Jesus is like that. Great cliffs of difficulty would seem to block our life, would seem to block our plans. And if we allow our minds to focus on our weaknesses, if we allow our minds to focus on all the things that are wrong, then we'll be inclined to feel full of despair and fear and anxiety and worry if we allow our minds to go there. But I remind all of us this morning, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. When we're at our weakest point, when we can't find an answer, when we don't know what's going to happen next, we must learn to cling to the rock of ages. We must learn to cling to Jesus. We must learn to hold on when nothing makes any sense in our life and everything's falling apart. We learn to hold on. On November the 4th in 1740, a baby in Farnham, England was given the name of Augustus Montague Toplady. How do you like that name? Augustus Montague Toplady. His father died in battle, in war. His mother spoiled him. In fact, his friends thought of Augustus as a sick and neurotic little boy. In fact, his relatives didn't even like him very much. But Augustus was interested in God. He was interested in Christ. And at age 12, he was preaching sermons to whoever would listen to him. And at age 14, he began to write hymns. At 16, he committed to the call of God on his life. And at age 22, he was ordained as a priest in the Anglican Church. But Augustus died at the very young age of only 38 years old. But before he died, he wrote a poem. I think many of you will recognize the words to it. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath, and make me pure. It was 1965. It was the last summer that I would spend on my grandparents' farm. My grandfather, Reverend Earl McLaughlin, had been diagnosed with leukemia. The doctor told him he only had a couple of years left. Most summers on that farm was hard work every single day. Saturdays we'd ease up a little bit, and Sundays we would travel to the Church of God in Stroud, Oklahoma, that my grandfather pastored. But this summer it was a little different. It's 1965, I was almost 13 years old. We got up early that morning and done our morning chores, milked the cows and took care of a few things in the barn, and then came in for breakfast and went back out and continued to work. Grandpa, though, was a workaholic. There was no sitting around with him. But leukemia began to weaken his body. As we came back in for lunch that hot summer day, I can remember afterwards, normally we'd go right back to work again. There was always some project that had to be done. But he said something I rarely ever heard him say. He says, "Let's just sit down in the living room for a minute and rest. I'm going to put an album on. I want you to hear my favorite song." So he put this album on. I couldn't even remember who the group was that was singing. But his favorite song finally came on. He said, "This is my favorite song. I want you to listen to it with me." And the song was Rock of Ages. And as the album is playing that song, Rock of Ages, he takes hold of my hand and he closes his eyes. And as the song is playing, tears are running down his cheeks. This man knows his time is limited on the earth. He knows within just a couple of years he's going to be gone. But he's on that sofa with his hand on mine and his other hand up in the air. I looked up at him and his hand was raised up and tears were running down his cheeks. And he sang the words of this song. It was more than just saying the words. It was coming from his heart. Because he was clinging to the Rock of Ages. Everything in his life was built on that faith and that hope. And in that moment in his life where he knew the days were short, he was holding on. He knew how to hold on. We can never hope to hold on in this life until we learn to hold to the Rock of Ages. That's Jesus. We'll never be able to hold on to this life unless we're holding on to our Savior, Jesus. The third picture of this proverb that we look at this morning is the way of a ship. The problem of a man advancing. Well, you know, today, huge diesel-powered ocean liners and atomic-powered submarines are very common. But back in the day, in fact, when the Bible was written, in the Old Testament days especially, sailors quickly learned that the set and the position of the sails on a ship, not the force of the wind, but the set and position of the sails, is what governed their direction. Even when wind seemed adverse, even the wind was coming right at you from the point you were trying to get to, and it would seem like it would be impossible for that ship to go forward. But with the sails positioned just in the right place, going straight into the wind, by tacking to the left and then to the right and to the left, you would slowly advance forward because those big white sheets of canvas above that ship have been put in just the right position. So the ship moves forward against the strongest headwinds, against the strongest forces of nature, contrary to where that ship wants to go. Now, there are times when the events of our lives, the headwinds, if you would, of our lives, would seem to drive us to the rock of destruction. However, when our hearts are turned toward the Lord, when our hearts are turned to Jesus, then our sails will be set in such a fashion that even the highest gale coming against us can still work for our benefit. Because Christ is with us. Because we're looking to Him. Paul understood this so clearly. You remember the scripture he wrote in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things. You know this verse, don't you? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. The hard part of us, the hardest part of that verse is the all things. Really, Lord? As a believer, all things, we know we're in God's hands. We're holding on to Him, all things. By our unrelenting faith in God, we can move forward against the strongest headwinds of this life. By our unrelenting faith in Jesus, certain of His promises, we know that whatever we're going against, it is for our good, because the Word of God tells us that, and we're in His hands and He's with us. And then the final word picture from this proverb is the way of a man with a virgin. That's the problem of a man loving. This expression, the way of a man with a virgin, represents the passion and the love between sweethearts. Love can make a selfish person very considerate of another, can it? Love can make a strong man weak. Love can real love for our sweetheart can lead a man or a woman to sacrifice and to do things in a way that would never have happened except for that love. Love can do almost anything. The marvel and the beauty and the grace of God's love. The marvel and the beauty of the grace of God's love that fills our hearts through His Son Jesus is the secret behind every experience as a Christian. God's love is part of that. God's love is empowering and blessing and helping us. It is in His love that enables you and I to trust Him. It's in His love that enables us to trust Him even if the events of our lives cause us to feel like that we're in free fall, like one of those little eaglets wondering how they're going to make it. It's His love that enables us to hold on, to cling to Jesus when all else fails, when nothing else is right. It's His love that pours into our hearts, that lifts us, and His faithfulness because of His love that fills our minds and our spirits, and we know everything is okay because God's love is still flowing into us. It's a love that allows His hand to be on our lives, so to speak, to give direction and guidance to us when we need it the most, in the midst of the worst storms of our life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been through a dark and difficult and challenging storm, and you didn't know how you were going to make it, but you just kept holding on to Jesus? You just kept believing. You just kept trusting, and He was there for you. You know, the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. The Bible tells us that love never fails. There's a fellow named Frederick Lehman. He was born in Germany, and his family moved to the United States when he was only 4 years old. They settled in Iowa. He accepted Christ as his Savior while walking down a crabapple orchard. He just knelt and prayed. He felt the Holy Spirit convicted him of sin, and he invited Jesus to forgive him and to come into his heart. He was only 11 years old when he did that. Well, Frederick became a minister, and he pastored churches in the Midwest, but his greatest love was his love of gospel music. And he compiled 5 song books and published hundreds of different Christian songs. Well, in 1917, his finances turned sour, and he found himself working in a packing plant in Pasadena. And every day he's packing up tons of lemons and oranges, just trying to make a living to survive and to keep going. Well, one morning he's working, and God put a song in his heart. And during the breaks, he would sit down on an empty lemon crate, and he started jotting down the words in his heart using a little stubby pencil. Well, that evening when he got home, he finished the words, and then he sat down to an old upright piano, and he began to put the notes together. And he put together a beautiful hymn. I think most of you know this hymn. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink, I love this verse, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Let us conclude our worship today by letting these words just fill our hearts. And join me as we just sing this chorus together. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Heavenly Father, we just call out to you today. We thank you for the power of the Word of God. We thank you for the wisdom and the guidance and the lessons it teaches us. We thank you for your love, because of your love, God, we can stand. Because of your love, we can withstand everything that comes against us. Because of your love, through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have strength, we have hope, we have endurance. Because of your love expressed to us through Jesus, we have faith. And we reach up with that faith today. We give to you every burden, every need, every worry, every care. We lay it at the feet of Jesus. We ask you, God, for freedom and love and faith, God, to escape the worries and the burdens and lift our hearts by your Spirit and by your love and by your hand. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you. We praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.